Okay, so thanks, Whittier team, for fixing this. So that was very helpful. And now, a few minutes late, but we just, you know, do the same talk a bit later, same 20 minutes slot plus 5 minutes Q&A, is QuickWit. François, welcome.
Should I take it? Is it sufficient? Or?
Oh, you don't have a microphone yet?
Yes, I have a, okay. Should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi everyone, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me in this room. We have been working like on observability since 3 years at QuickWit, and I would like to present here what we have done during these 3 years, the outcome of it at least. First, I will introduce myself a bit. So I'm François, I'm working on the core engine of QuickWit, which is a search engine. I'm also the co-founder of QuickWit, and I also work a lot, I'm working a lot on the Grafana data source pooling that I will show you in this presentation. So for this, for the agenda, I will start like with by taking a step back, a short one, and then we'll talk about like the problem of cardinality that we can have with metrics. And then I will show you, like very briefly, the engine of QuickWit and how it works. And finally, I will show you a demo of QuickWit working in Grafana for application monitoring. So let's start by taking a step back. So I'm showing this graph. It's not mine. This diagram is from Ben Siegelman. This is a Googler who works on the distributed tracing Dapper. A software Dapper when he was at Google, and he co-founded also Lightstep, which is a company doing observability and monitoring stuff. And I kind of liked this diagram because it summarized like all the complexities, the intricacies between monitoring and observability, and the different signals that we can get from our applications or our servers. So at the bottom, you have the three signals, or the three pillars, it depends on how you call them, traces, metrics, and logs. And generally, you store them in different databases. Metrics, you store them in time series databases because you want something optimized for it, and it can be very optimized for this kind of data. And for traces and logs, it depends. You can store them in a search engine, or you can store them in dedicated storage. I'm sure you know Tempo and Loki, Loki for logs and Tempo for traces. And on top of it, you try to build your monitoring software with alerts on metrics, or could be on logs or even traces if you can. So let me talk a bit about how the problem of cardinality here. At the bottom, you can see that metrics goes always into the TSDB, but you can also put some traces information into your TSDB. But in this case, you need to be very careful about what you did, because in traces, you can have a lot of labels, and you can be very, very accurate about what's happening. So that's why I just want to stop there a minute. When you want to monitor a distributed system, and we all generally have that somewhere in our job, they can fail for various number of reasons, even for a tremendous amount of reasons. And so you may want to label everything, like if you have a software that is deployed with different version, you want to have this version label, same for the host. Same for the customer ID. If you are a SaaS, for example, you can have thousands of them. And if you want also to monitor your services, your endpoint, in summary, your cardinality will explode. And this will be a problem for your time series database. It's a problem. It can be either a performance problem or a money problem. Because if you look at Datadog pricing, for example, you will pay $5 for 100 custom metrics. So if you want custom metrics, because that's it, here you want something very specific to your business, and in this case, you will pay. It will cost you a lot. So generally, you don't want to have all those labels on your metrics. you want to control and just keep a low number of them. That's not the same for traces. In general, traces, you want to keep everything so that you can dig into, like, really understand the full trace. Each unit of work in your software, you will be able to understand for each customer, for one customer particularly, for one request ID or for one user ID, you will know what happened in your system. So generally, you keep everything in your traces. And that's what I will talk about today, and that's what QuickWit is for. So QuickWit is an engine that is storing logs and traces, and particular traces. It does not handle metrics. And it is a bit different than other search engines in the sense that we decoupled compute and storage. So we have the same approach as Loki and Tempo on this, that cheap storage is great. If you use an object storage, it's also very reliable, so you don't lose your data, and you have all the benefits of decoupling your write path, your read path, and it's really great when you want to scale to a lot of data, and that's the case in observability. And last point is that we worked on the search part a lot so that it can stay sub-second even if all your data is on object storage. And I will explain how it works very briefly. So the engine architecture is quite simple. It's globally the same for this kind of decoupled compute and storage architecture. You will find the same for Tempo, for example. So at the middle, you have your object storage, where you store your data. This is the source of truth. On the left side, this is the write path. And on the right side, this is the read path. So on the right path, you have your incoming JSON documents, could be traces, could be whatever. And you have your indexer that is running. And each 30 seconds, typically, or each 15 seconds, it will build what we call a split in QuickWit. This is a file where we put all the data structures that are used at search time. So it's well-optimized data. It's several well-optimized data structures for to be searchable on object storage. So we create them, the indexer creates them, and then upload it to the object storage. So you will have a bunch of splits that are put on the object storage each 30 seconds, for example. And each time you put this split, you also put one row in a metastore, or could be a PostgreSQL database, or it could be just a JSON file stored on the object storage. So we will add just the metadata of the split in it. And once it is inside the metastore, like the metadata of the split that was uploaded on the object storage, then the searcher is able to search it. So you have this nice decoupling where then if you want more searchers, you just have to increase your number of searchers. You can even shut all of them down. That's not a problem. So that's for the high-level view. To understand why QuickWit is fast on object storage, I have to show you also how a split is made. This is an interesting part because it shows you also the different data structure that we are using, and it will help understand how we can achieve like fast search later on. So you have basically three data structures in the split, and one thing that we call like a hot cache. The first data structure is the doc store. It's row-oriented storage. So if you have a document ID, we will give you the whole JSON document. The second data structure is the inverting index. So in this case, if you are looking for a user ID, request ID, or a keyword, it's optimized in the sense that if you give a user ID, we will retrieve immediately the list of document ID that contains this user ID. So it is very fast, and then you just have to retrieve a document from the list of those document IDs. The third data structure is the columnar store. So here it's for doing aggregations. If you want to do analytics on your logs or traces, we will use this columnar store. You can have a lot of columns. You can have sparse columns. It's optimized for that. And the last part is what we call it's a split footer that we keep in general in the memory of a searcher because it's very, very small. I put it 0.07% of the size of a split. So it's very, very small. So for that, it's cool because you can always keep it in your cache on your searcher. And in this hot cache, you will find like all small data pointers to the other data structures. So that when you make a search request, you will need only to make one or two requests to your object storage to find the response. So that's why I said when we optimized Quickwit for object